Sefer says Shalom Perek Gimel. We were in the middle of the mashal, the parable that the Ramchal gives of the maize, and he was saying how, and this was a pretty scary thought that he said, that when you walk in a maze, you in the maze have no idea if the path you're taking is the true path or not the true path, and it's possible that a person in his life will be taking a path which seems to him like it could be good. He himself is aware that he's not sure, which is scary. No? You know that you're not sure of it. You know that it might not be the right path. And even if it feels good to you at some point, if you haven't checked in and contemplated if it's good, then it may be the wrong path. On the other hand, you might think you're going totally the opposite direction of what you feel is the right path, and you end up in the right place. Only when you've been there for a while, and you've learned the different paths, and you've learned the different ways, and you've memorized, just totally in brackets, how can you always find the way in a maze? Is there a way that you can always find the way? If you close your eyes and you put, or you keep your eyes open, but like you don't look, you just put one hand against the wall. And then you just walk and walk and walk and walk. Then every single path, you'll walk in and walk out and walk in and walk out, and eventually you'll get out. As opposed to going again and again around the same ones, eventually you'll get out of the way you started. Sometimes only going on a very, very thorough path of trying out every method, are you able to find the path that's the true path for you. Sometimes it'll make time, and you're almost closing your eyes because you don't even know which path you're going to be taking. But if you don't know the way properly, you may be there for a long time. V'hine, ha'omed kfar alach sadra. But if you have someone who's already reached the middle, and he's standing up there on a platform, v'hu ro'eh kol ha'drachim lefanav, and he can see all the paths in front of him, u'mavchin, and he's able to identify, bein ha'amitiyim v'ha'kozvim, between those paths that are true and those paths that are false. V'hu yachol lahazhir et ha'olchim bam. He can warn the people who he sees still walking in the path and say to them, "Zeh haderech lechuba, go on this path." I just want to pause here and understand the mashal exactly, which is interesting. Is that true? If I go to a Talmud Chacham, he hasn't been through what I've been through. So maybe the way he got to the path and the way he got to the platform in the middle was his unique way. But how does he know what I need to go through? How can someone else give me hadracha? For who I am, I'm a unique individual. If he wants to give hadracha to his former self, that's one thing, you know. Like if I would have known then what I know now, that you can say, that's you. But how can this person? Do we all have the same path? Is it like a maze that everyone has to take the exact same path, and there's one path that leads to the middle, or is it more like Kriyas Yamsuf, which Chazal tell us? Split into 12 sections that every Shevet could go through in their own way because everyone has a different path. How is it possible that he gets to the top when he went his way and he's able to see all the other paths as well? But you see from the mashal that the Ramchal is giving something phenomenal. That when a person has worked on themselves and reached a level of closeness with Hashem, they're able to see broadly the truth of other paths, even if it's not theirs. The way of a Talmud Chacham is that he's reached a place of inner understanding of how things work, the mechanisms of how things work. Mashal l'mahadava domeh. Let's say you have a person who learns to play a musical instrument. And he's practiced and practiced and practiced many, many times and learned many, many pieces. And then one day someone gives him a new piece that he's never practiced before. And they say, play it. He's probably likely to do a very good job in playing it if he's practiced a lot. Because it's true that he's never played this piece. But he's learned the skills of how to play music and how to read music in a very effective way. So he's able to take a piece that he hasn't seen before, but with a small amount of contemplation, with the knowledge that he has, the background investment that he has, he's able to apply it. So Talmud Chacham doesn't have to have gone on every single path. But through his learning of Torah and through his having improved whatever he had to improve to get to who he got to, he's able to look back and say, I didn't go through exactly that struggle that you went through. I went through my own things. But having understood Torah from Torah's inner world perspective, I'm able to now look back, and even if it's not my same issue, it's someone else's issue, what they're going through, but I understand the Torah's approach to reality. I understand the Torah's approach to truth. And I myself have worked on what I've worked on. And therefore, I'm able to show you that what you're doing is off in a such and such a way. You would never challenge with it. Yes, but I see what the truth of Torah is, and I can see therefore why it's off. Just to give another mashal. Let's say you saw a picture of something. And now someone else is being asked to draw that picture from your description. That's pretty hard. They don't know exactly how it looks, but they're drawing it. And you're describing to them. And then as you describe, you say, no, that is off. And they say, what do you mean it's off? It looks very nice. They say, yeah, I know, but I saw the original. Like, I know what it looks like. And it shouldn't be like that. It should be like this. So someone is trying to navigate their way through Avodas Hashem, but they haven't yet got to the core of being close to Hashem and connected to Hashem. Then they're saying, maybe a good hashkafa is such and such. Maybe a good outlook is this and this. Maybe God wants us to do such and such. And they're still in the stage of guesswork. They're still in the stage of trying to figure it out. It's like learning Yavamas for the first time. Well, if you haven't got all the rules of how all of Yavamas works, then it's like very much like groping in the darkness trying to figure out. But once you get to the end, and then you've seen all the rules and the macro system and how it all works, then when someone else is learning Yavamas and you want to guide them and you say, oh no, that comes up on Daf Nun Hey and Vaseda, you won't be able to understand this. No hope of understanding this until you've got to that sugya and you go back and it all makes sense then. Because they've seen the bigger picture. They understand the bigger picture. So when we were on our first path in serving Hashem, a lot of what we're doing is guessing. We don't know which is the right path. Maybe this is the correct way of serving Hashem. Maybe this is what Hashem wants from me. But once you've got to an understanding of what Hashem wants, and you have clarity in that, then when someone else comes and they're making a mistake in their path in their Avodas Hashem, even if you particularly never made that mistake, but you have clarity. You know Hashem to the degree that a person can know Hashem. So you can tell them, that's not what Hashem wants. Did you ever struggle with this? No, I didn't. But it's clear to me that's not the way of serving Hashem. It's clear to me that's not in the world of Hashem. That's not Hashem's way. I got to know Him. If you know someone very well, and someone else asks you and says, I want to buy them a present, should I buy them this? And you say no. And they go, why? This is a bit popular. I looked it up and it said, this is what everyone's buying now. Maybe this is what they would like as well. Aren't they like everyone else? You say, no, I know them. And that's not what they would like. So it was a good way of guessing what lots and lots of people are buying. It may be what this person wants as well, but someone who knows. Now, even if they never ask them, do you want this? But they know them. So Talmud Chacham, in the Mashal here, who has reached the center, and he's looking over the whole map of the maze. And he sees you floundering in some corner of the maze. He may never have got stuck in that corner of the maze, but he understands the will of Hashem. He understands the whole map. He understands, he's able to guide you and direct you to the center from wherever you are. Even if he wasn't there, but he can see where you are and he can see where the center is and he can bring you back. And he can say to you, Zeh HaDerech Yechuba. And then he hands it over to you, and this is where it's your choice. Misha Yirtze LaHamin Lo. If you choose and you want to trust the Talmud Chacham who's giving you guidance on this matter, Yagia LaMakom HaYuad, you'll get there. Because he knows the way. You know, you always have those arrogant people who won't turn their ways on and they're going to figure out themselves. I'm not going to listen to them telling me, I'm going to figure it out myself. And they go round and round and round and round and round. Now there's less, because now there's ways it's cool. There was a much better mashal in the previous days where they wouldn't stop and ask directions from someone. I'm not going to stop and ask someone directions. I'm not going to ask directions. I know the way. Round and round round and round. So if someone has humility to look up to people who have greater understanding than them of the path, and they believe them, Yagia l'makom ha-meyuad. Or Misha lo yirtze la'amin. But if a person doesn't want to believe, v'yirtze l'lechet acharanav, he wants to do things that the way they seem correct to him, without checking in with the professionals, without checking in with the experts. They want to make the mistakes themselves. So it sounds like, oh, it's great, you're being independent. What a wonderful thing to do. It's good to be independent when you're building yourself in a greater way by doing it yourself. But when there's danger of harm, and there's someone who does know the correct way of doing it, then it's not a good idea. I want to walk across the road independently without looking if the light is green or red. No, you can't do that. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. If there's light or red, they know what they're talking about. There are certain areas where you need the guidance. In Avodat Hashem, it's dangerous. A person may have a misunderstanding of Kadosh Baruch Hu, feel a disconnect from Hashem, and then not reconnect for a long time. But if you have guidance on a matter which is life and death, then you take that guidance. V'day yishe'er oved v'lo yagia elav. The person chooses not to trust the Talmud Chachamim on the correct path of serving Hashem, they will remain lost. They won't arrive there. Kena davar hazeh. Misha adayin lo mashal b'yitzro. If a person has not yet taken, there's hope for all of us to do this, but if you haven't yet taken control of the Yetzirah, because the Yetzirah is what guides you and motivates you and pushes you to do the different things that you do, and hu b'toch hashvilim, you're still stuck in the paths of the maze. Lo yuchal l'avchil b'neim. And at that stage, because the Yetzirah is a great ventriloquist, and he blinds us to the correct path, We don't always know when it's the Yetzer Tov telling us and the Yetzer Hara telling us. It's not always clear to us to see, and sometimes dafka when it most seems like it's the Yetzer Tov. They're doing something against the halacha. You have to go tell them. You have to throw something at them quickly now in the name of Hashem. Right, that's dafka, not the Yetzer Tov. That's dafka, probably the Yetzer Hara, if it's like this angry force that's pushing you to do something. Acha moshlim b'yitzram. However, someone who has control of his Yetzer. Shekvar egiu elach sadra. He's already reached the peak, the in the center. He can look over the whole map. Yatsume ashvin. They're no longer in control of the Yetzer Hara. They're no longer biased and blinded. They're able to see the whole map of Torah, the understanding of how Hashem relates to the world, the fallings that people have, and how with life experience you see people make the same mistakes again and again, and they're able to identify that, what mistakes people are making, what false beliefs people have. They can give advice. They can give advice and you can choose not to listen. I remember when I was younger, I never understood, how could it be that a child doesn't follow the path of Torah? If it's what they're doing is not true, then the parents will just tell them, this is not true. And they will show them how it's not true. And they'll prove it to them. And so, and the child will come back. Like, well, what's going wrong then? Maybe the parents don't know how to explain very well. Oh, that's what the issue is. That's probably what it is. But then as I matured, I realized that a person can hear absolute truth, recognize that it's true, and choose not to believe it. I don't want to hear. Well, you don't think it's true? Let's discuss it. No, I know it's true, and I don't. That's why I don't want to listen. That's why I don't want to listen, because I know it's true, and it obligates me to act in a way that I don't feel like acting. I want to do my own thing. It doesn't make sense. Don't talk sense. I want to do my own thing. I'm not willing to discuss it. And they just stop the conversation. And then there's nothing more you can do at that point. So it could be that a Talmud Chacham will be coming and giving you... I remember this when I was in Shana Aleph. I had a healthy Yetzer Hara in Shana Aleph. And I would stay up every night. I had a Chavrusa of Chazar of Bekiyas from 12:15 until whenever we finished. And I would come back to bed really, really late. And I was really proud of myself, of how many hours a day I was learning. And only Gemara. I didn't learn Musa even. Didn't learn Musa. Only Gemara. And many hours. And I would, lefia seder, fall asleep during morning seder at a certain point with my chavruta. And then lefia seder, I would fall asleep after about 20 minutes in the middle of shir. And lefia seder, I would fall asleep around 5 o'clock or 5:15. Night seder, I didn't fall asleep. That's when I'd had all my good sleeps throughout the storm, so I was okay at that point. And my Rebbe came up to me, Rav Feldman, if you know Binyamin Feldman in Shana Hay, so his father. So he was the Rebbe then. And so Rav Shaul Feldman, he pulled me aside for a talk. And he said, you may think that what you're doing is good, but it's not good. You may think that you're learning well and you're learning harder, but the quality of your learning is so low that you're just not focused. You're not focused. You're not focused in Seder. You're not able to think deeply. You're not focused in Shir. You haven't heard the end of the Shir ever. Maybe once or twice. So like I never got to the end of Shir. And I was always like, even if I didn't fall asleep, I was like nodding. So then with that nodding, like doesn't enable you to follow a flow through. And he didn't know about afternoon Seder, but that was also true. So he said, so like, this is not the will of Hashem. If you're trying to do the will of Hashem, this is not the will of Hashem. And I didn't want to listen. I didn't want to listen. And my Rebbe came and told me, I didn't want to listen. Because in my mind, the amount of hours a day that I was learning proved how stark I was. And that was more important to me, that belief of myself, of that I'm stark, because I'm learning so many hours a day. But it was much more important than actually becoming a Talmid Chacham. That's irrelevant. How many hours is a real proof of how... And that was a mistake. And it was clear that it was a mistake. And I heard the truth in what the Rebbe was saying, but it didn't resound with me in a way that at that moment my Yetzer Hara was like guiding me to how you're going to be great one day of this many hours a day. And who else is doing this many hours a day? And that was a false belief that I had that I wasn't willing to listen to. And only in Shana Bet, like, I really picked up on it. And I started rearranging my schedule in a way that was more effective. But I went through most of Shana Aleph like that. With a blind eye to that, where the Yetzer Hara was pushing me to learn more, and pushing me to learn. Dafka, the learning after 12 at night was very good. That learning was good, and that was why it was really hard not to listen to the Yetzer Hara, because like that learning was great quality learning. That 12 post 12 p.m. learning, but then you know the whole day, most of the day, it wasn't so. So it's a choice whether you want to listen. Mi sherotze lishmoa v'aleihim tzrichim la'amin, and that's who we have to listen to. This whole mashal, what was the purpose of the Ramchal telling to us? This whole mashal was just to build in us emunas hachamim. To build in us the recognition that the hachamim know what they're talking about, and you should follow their guidelines, and you will become closer to Hashem and accomplish the goal greater by following us. And what do they say? They say many things, but what's the Ramchal bring right now, which is why he was building our Emunos HaChamim? Mahi ha'etza she'em notnim lanu? Bo'u cheshbon. You have to do a cheshbon nefesh. That's the advice, the etza they give us. That's the whole purpose of this whole chapter. To this line. Bo'u nachshev cheshbono she'olam. Ki hem nisu. They've tried many parts. V'ra'u, and they've identified. They've seen from life experience, v'yadu, from their own experience, shezeh levado. This is the only derech amiti la'agia ha'adam, for a man to reach, el atova asher hu mevakesh. V'lo zulatzer. I love that phrase, atova asher hu mevakesh. Because there's two levels of what you're looking for and what you're trying to accomplish. There's a superficial level and there's a deeper level. The superficial level for me when I was in Shana Aleph was, learn as many hours a day as I can. But deeply, that's not what I was looking for. Deeply, that didn't answer what my yearning was, my quest was. It wasn't, because I was just tired most of the day, and okay, I've learned 3 hours, but what do I have to show for that? So when you ask yourself, I know what I want right now. That's external, though. I want to learn this many hours a day. But what do I really want? Like, this desire to learn so many hours a day is because, finish that sentence, it's because I want to become a Talmud Chacham, or whatever it is that you answer, right? But if it's to show off, then you're doing well. You know, you can tell everyone in the world that you're learning so many hours a day, and you're successful, very good. You can stop there. But if it's not that, but rather it's, no, the reason why I want to learn so many hours a day is because I want to become a Talmud Chacham, and I want to understand Hashem's will greater and more clearly, then are you accomplishing that? Is that the Tovah Amiti that you're seeking? And if you're being honest with yourself, you'll realize that it's actually not accomplishing that goal. That's not what I'm actually looking for. So he's saying here that even though you think that you're doing what you want to do and what's good for you, but if you listen to the Talmud Chachamim, you'll realize that if you want to get to the good which you're really looking for, not the good that externally right now you've set as your goal, but behind that, beyond that, what do you actually want? Beyond the initial. And often, without much effort, with just a few questions, a few guiding questions that you do with yourself in the Cheshbon Nefesh, or you do with a friend as you speak it through, you can realize that what you're saying you want now is not actually what you want, it's more of an external expression. But what you really want is something a lot deeper. Derech ha'amiti la'agia la'tova shehu mevakesh. That's what you're seeking. And the way you know is that you won't feel satisfied or accomplished having achieved your smaller goals, your short-term goals, if they're not leading up to what your bigger goals are. So for me, staying up late was not accomplishing what my real goal was. It wasn't accomplishing, but it was the Yetzer Hara pushing me in a way that was unhealthy. Klalo shel davar. Here's the rule of the matter. Tzarich adam leot mitbonen besichlo tamid bekol zman. You have to contemplate, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you a mind which, using your mind in an honest way, you can identify. Uvizman kavu alo, and you should also set aside a specific time daily or at least weekly, behit bodudo, where you sit alone, no one else is with you, just you and your pencil and your paper. Mahu aderech amiti, and at that time you contemplate to yourself in a way that, I mean, obviously if your phone is on, it's very hard to have a deep insight. Because at any moment, even if it didn't buzz, but it can buzz, then you're not allowing yourself to be fully focused on the project of a Cheshbon Nefesh, to go into your inner world. So you have to put your phone on airplane mode to do a Cheshbon Nefesh. You know, there won't be any messages, nothing's going to come through. Leave it in a different room. Just even if it's in your pocket and it's not on, but it may buzz at some point, you're not able to fully invest. And what are you investing in? Mahu aderech amiti lefi chok haTorah? Shadam tzarech ha'elech bo. V'achar kach yitvo litbonen al ma'asav, im heim al derech ze, im lo. This is what we spoke about last time. Early on in the chapter, he spoke about a path that resounds with you. And now he's doing the flip side, which is the other side of which we spoke about as well, which is that it has to also fit into Torah. It has to have both. It has to be both in line with the will of Hashem and be in line with your inner will. Ma'u aderech amiti lefi chok haTorah? It has to fit into the will of Hashem as well. So it's interesting that he says the derech amiti, because the derech amiti for you is not the same as your friend. There's no such thing as the derech. If there was the derech, it would have been written many years ago in a book, and that would be the guideline for everyone to follow. There's no the derech. There's the end goal that we're working towards of kirvas Hashem. But the way that you will get there, for every person, has a different set of tools, a different values that he was given. HaKadosh Baruch Hu endows every individual with a different skill set of how to reach that end goal. So therefore it has to be derech amiti that resounds with you. And you have to contemplate, are you reaching that goal? Ki al yedei zeh vaday she'elo nakel litaher mikol ra o liyasher kol derachav. As it says in Mishlei, pales ma'agal raglecha, וכל דרכך יכונו. ואומר נחפשה דרכנו ונחקורה וישוב על השם. So both of those psukim express the idea that the only way that you can lashuv el Hashem and you can come back to closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is if there's a level of contemplation that yichonu or nachkora, then you're able to have that understanding of who you are. Starting the fourth perek, how do you acquire it? The way that the Mesillas Shlomim is built is he first describes to you what the matter is, and then afterwards he goes on to describe how you can acquire it, and then he says, even if you've acquired it, there are things, active forces that could make you lose it, and therefore how to protect yourself from those. Perek Dalet. V'hinei ma she'mevi et ha'adam al derech klal el hazehirut hu limud ha'Torah. So I want to pause here and just mention this point. This is very important. Torah has a plus side and a minus side, an advantage and disadvantage when it comes to working on one's midas and perfecting oneself. On the one hand, Torah gives a person a purity. It gives a person a clear guideline. But at the same time, it's not individual. It's more on a segula level. Spiritually, by you learning Torah, you become closer to Hashem. Spiritually, by you learning Torah, you have the ability to be refined. It sets you up well. It enables you to be more pure in general. It gives you more spiritual koach in general. But just learning Torah by itself, without having a clear path of how to work on yourself, which midah you need to work on, where your strengths and where your weaknesses are, then it's almost fair to say that Torah goes to waste. It doesn't go to waste in Schar of Shamayim. You have inherent value of having fulfilled the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But the power that Torah has to protect you from sin, the power that Torah has to help you refine your midahs, it gives you in potential strength. But you then have to use that strength. It's almost as if you have an energy button that you can press, and it gives you more energy. But if you don't know which way to run with all that energy, right? It's like the Torah gives you gas, petrol that you can put in the car, so you have the ability to reach greater heights. But if you don't know which way you're facing, which way you need to go, then the koach, the energy that Torah gave you, won't help you in this area. It might help you in keeping halacha if you learn Torah down to Aliba de Hilchasa. It'll help you in fulfilling the mitzvah of Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. But in the area that we're describing of the Torah refining your personality, refining your character, it's lav dafka. A person can learn a lot of Torah and still be, as far as midas is concerned, an absolute amaretz. And unfortunately, there are many stories of people who are Talmud Chachamim, and when it comes to midas, are not refined. They did work on the intellectual side of Talmud Torah and they improved that tremendously. But they didn't do what we're describing here of taking the power of that Torah and investing it in their inner working of who they are, of their character traits, of building their relationship with Hashem. So they may know a lot, but it might not refine them in the same way. And that's dangerous and that's scary. But it doesn't go together. It's not automatic. It's not automatic that a person who learns Torah becomes more refined. It is automatic that a person who learns Torah has more power to be refined. He'll have more energy to be refined. He'll have more ability to be refined if he then chooses to work on himself. But I'll finish off with the vort of the Gra, and then we'll continue, and then we'll pause. Sorry, is that the Gra says? If anyone wants to help me out with the pasuk in Hazinu, Kamatar Likhi, what's the full pasuk? So all that. So the Gra says that the Torah there in that pasuk is compared to rain. That when rain, and the Gra says when rain comes down, then the rain causes the earth to produce. It grows. What grows? It depends what's in the soil. If what's in the soil are seeds of a tree, seeds of vegetables, svichin, then it's going to help that grow. It's going to help something positive to grow. Fruit can grow, trees can grow, and you can benefit from those. But if there's only negative things there, then weeds will grow. So the mashal the Gra was giving was, if a person is determined to work on their midas, and then they learn Torah, then the Torah will give them the energy, the power, like the water coming down. They've planted the seeds of desire to be close to Hashem. The Torah will provide that for them and they will come close to Hashem. But if a person has no interest in refining themselves, then not only will the Torah not be a samachayim, the Torah will be a tamamavis. And a person who learns Torah, the Gemara says, it would be better they wouldn't have been born. That's a harsh statement. Because it makes a chilul Hashem. that a person who's learning Torah and doesn't have refined midos, then they have more power and they're not using it, and they speak up in the name of Torah and they say things which are against basic derech eretz and decency, or they do acts which are against that, and they're representing God now, it creates a big chilul Hashem. So it is automatic that by learning Torah you have the power to become refined, but it's not automatic that you will be. It's only if you have that orientation, you have that mindset, you have that desire and that will. So that's why when he speaks about how to acquire Zahiros, in one line he says that the general way of acquiring Zahiros is learning Torah. In general, that's the way. That's going to give you the koach, that's filling up with gas. But that by itself will not be enough. Never think that just by learning Torah automatically you'll be refined or you'll be improved. It will give you extra energy, but then you have to do the next stage, which is what he goes on to say, and that we'll do Be'ez Hashem next time, which is Al Derech HaPrat. And there's the general way, which is by learning Torah, that gives you the koach, but then the Derech HaPrat. Now specifically, how are you going to plant those seeds so that when you learn the Torah, it's going to grow there what you need to do to be, to have, and to be, to become close to Hashem. Shalom.